broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
South Africa's low-cost airline FlySafair is currently facing significant challenges, and these relate to its shareholding structure and also a potential strike by its workforce. To talk to us about some of the dynamics playing around in that space, we are joined by Phuthego Mojapele, who is an aviation analyst. Phuthego, thank you so much for your time. I mean, what do you make of this ruling around from the International Air Services Council around FlySafair's ownership arrangement?
Good evening, and to your listeners. Look, this issue has been before the councils for quite some time, and I think it had to come to a conclusion at some point, and the decision has to be made based on the presentation and representation that has been made by all the parties that have been loggerheads to each other. You'd remember that here we're talking about Global Airways, which own Lyft, as well as the Airlink, which is the premium service that we also have. So they went to the International Licensing Council together with the domestic councils to complain about the flouting of the shareholder rule, which says the foreign ownership should be limited below 50% threshold. Now, what has happened in this is that the SAFAir ownership has gone beyond 74%. Now, it's unheard of for any airline to have flouted the rules to that tune. It's quite substantial amount of shareholding that have been flouted here. So, the council have determined the fate, and I think it is important that the rules of South African constitution, together with the business within the aviation, being respected and being adhered to. If you are a fair player, you should play fair as it's supposed to within the laws of South Africa. But it looks like they did not consider those factors before them.
And when it comes to the limit on foreign ownership, what is that maximum limit if ASL is sitting at, 74%?
Well, ideally, it's across the world anyway. This is not, by the way, let me just clarify it. This is not just South Africa, South African law. Across the world, there is no country that would allow an airline that is operating within the shores to be owned beyond 50% threshold. It has to be below. Now, in this case, there are a lot of things. You must remember, aviation is not only about moving the passengers from one point to B. It's also got to do with the diplomatic and business transaction that has to do with the countries in between. And therefore, if you have a foreign ownership that would have dominated the market, clearly you do not have a control of what goes in out of your country. That is why it's important that Air Services Licensing Council or International should step in and pronounce itself as far as this issue is concerned. We can't continue like that if there isn't stipulated rules in the table that needs to be adhered to. I mean, Virgin America was closed because they were owned by an outsider, and it was bought by Alaska in America. So it's not new in our industry that we ended up with this kind of decision. It has been a precedent around the world, and I think the International Licensing Council, they are within the law to act like that, and we should actually give them an opportunity and applaud them for them to have reached that conclusion.
I read a report where the airline acknowledges what they call regulatory ambiguity contributing to the compliance issue. Is there ambiguous aspects of the regulatory side of things? I mean, from your analysis and some of the conversations you may be having with others in the sector who've looked at this issue?
Look, the fact of the matter here is that if you were to take, for example, let's just make it a typical example of Lyft. Lyft would have had an opportunity of attracting any investor that they would want to attract and put in as much resources as they would like to put and have an artificial growth that SAF Air have enjoyed recently or over the years. And similar thing applied to Airlink. Airlink only now that they had acquired 25% by Qatar. But even then, it's only 25%, not even anything more than anything. So there is no anything wrong in what the councils are going to be taking as far as the decision is concerned. There's nothing wrong. It is all within the framework of the law. And I do not believe in any way that there would be any prejudice that can be suffered by any airline that applied for AOC, knowing very well that when you apply for an AOC, there are conditions to attach to that. And therefore, if you are not going to be compliant with the AOC, there's no way that you can come here and start crying. Let them go to the court and see if the court will come with any other conclusion beyond what the council has pronounced itself to. So I do not believe in that, and I just think that they are just crying because they have break the law.
They did mention that they have expressed confidence in open dialogue and cooperation to obviously solve these challenges. But let's say worst case scenario, and we get to a point where there is a sanction. From the cases we may have had previously that relate to the International Air Services Council, have we seen sanctions ever impacting operational capabilities of an airline that didn't necessarily comply?
Here we are talking about something that, this issue did not just come. Let me just give you a bit of a background. It did not just come now. It's an issue that has been there for a couple of years now, since the inception of this airline. They are 10 years old now in operation. So this issue has been there before. They've been complaining about it since the inception of their operation in South Africa. There has been a couple of precedents that has been set before. There has been sanctions, but they were not as bad as this one. This one is 74%. They're basically owning only 26% of the shares of the company. So that is not allowed. There's no way that it can be allowed. So any sanction that will come, and I can tell you now, the license, it's possible that the license can be revoked, meaning that in 20 days, in fact, it's no longer 20 days now, it's only 18 days because the letter was released on Friday. So it's only 20 days left, 18 days left. We may see them being suspended from flying. It's possible. It's highly possible that it's going to happen because this has never happened where the airline break the law as SAF Air has done in the past.
Okay.
There's no history of that.
Okay, let's go worst case scenario. That does happen. What's the impact then for, passengers and, the low-cost airline industry? Because I would imagine there would be demand for other sort of airlines and prices and all of that stuff sort of kick in and come into effect.
The fact of the matter is that the customers are going to be affected. We know that SAF Air has quite a huge chunk of the market, over 60% of the market they have, particularly on the domestic front. And they do quite a lot of You know, they do contribute quite a lot in the economy, and moving passengers around, cargo and stuff like that. They do contribute. But are we saying now that, you know, it is well and good that we create a platform where people can just break the law and we blame it on the fact that the economy is going to suffer when there are laws in place to regulate that? It's not like they did not know what they were doing. They knew this thing has been there for over 10 years. They should have fixed it when they started to realize that there was an issue. They went as far as getting even senior counsel to advise them, but it never worked for them. So yes, it's going to be a little bit of a inconvenience. Yeah. We are used to that kind of inconvenience. We know Comair is gone, but you know, it's not something that we can do anything about it. The law is the law. Mm. If we have break the law, all of us, we don't want to go to jail when we have break the law. But eventually the court would decide and the law has to be adhered to. And unfortunately, in this case, you know, it has to be, the precedence has to be set here to say we cannot allow people to do that.
Right. I'm glad you brought up Comair, because I've been wondering why we haven't seen new sort of low-cost airline players in the market. Like, what's happening in that space that we don't have a replacement for Comair so that there's even more increased competition?
Well, the market at the moment is a little bit difficult, to be quite honest with you. Acquisition of the leasing airplanes that can come and operate in the country are very much scarce. We know the problems that Boeing is going through, and you know, it's a little bit difficult for those startups that would want to enter into the market to be able to get the leased airplanes to bring them into South African market. At the same time, once the Boeing start experiencing problems, the prices of Airbus goes up, because there's only two airplanes that you can actually get. So, well, not two per se, but, you know, it's Boeing or Airbus in most industry. And Embraer there and there, but not everybody wants the small fleet. They all want a little bit bigger fleet. So there are others that are busy trying to comply. But as I said, it's a little bit difficult. We are going to see the SAA increasing capacity. We have seen Lyft as well in buying some new jets. And we have seen also Airlink increasing also capacity. Even SAFAIR, the very same SAFAIR, have increased quite a number of capacity. So we still have Mango, which is still has not been decided. I'm sure at the right time they will decide about their future going forward. But the low-cost market at the moment, we have enough if SAFAIR is not going to continue being allowed to continue operating the way they are operating, because as we speak now, they are giving enough market. They are getting enough market share, over 60%, as I alluded earlier on, and they're covering quite extensive, vast of South African landscape. So, yes, we do need more players, especially from Lanseria to other destinations, because it's only them operating there. But, you know, if Lyft can increase their capacity, I'm sure we will be having enough capacity on the local front.
With some of the challenges that you've touched on in that response, are the dynamics similar to other markets from your observation, or are other markets slightly different?
They are increasing. I mean, I was in Scandinavian countries just recently, and I looked at how Scandinavian Airlines went out of their own pockets and go out in the market and get some shareholding position. And as we speak now, they have increased their capacity within the European market as well as the American markets. They are quite doing well, whereas they were not doing well. They have teared up with the Air France KLM. And also when you look at the in America, You have airline like Spirit, Frontiers, and Alaska. They're also doing very well, even though in the beginning they were on the market, they were trying to be acquired by other airlines, but eventually JetBlue couldn't go ahead with that transaction of Spirit Airlines. So the market is really shaping up quite nicely. People are now starting to travel. The return on investment are coming back. We did experience quite a setback during the COVID, but even our own SAA is doing quite fantastically well. They're going to all over Africa. They have increased capacity in some of the African destinations, even international. So the industry, it is growing, and I think we will see more and more passengers going back into the flying mode, and we can only pray that it stay like that, so that we can all those that have invested in the industry can realize the return on investment.
Yeah, Putego, thank you so much for your time this evening. That is Putego Mojapele, who is an aviation analyst, talking to us about some of the key aspects as it relates to the significant challenges that FlySafair is facing with regards to their shareholding structure.
If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.